You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Thank you for joining us. As you know, last time we got together, brothers and sisters, we were talking about being happy, finding happiness. So before we begin with our broadcast and we continue on this regarding being happy and the Beatitudes, I thought we should start off with a morning offering prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. O Jesus, I come before you at the beginning of this day. I gaze at your face. I look upon your side, pierced by the lance. Your wounded heart speaks to me of God's love poured out for us. Take, Lord, and receive my heart, the words of faith that I speak, the words, the works of justice I would do, my joys and sufferings. When I come to the Eucharistic table, gather my offerings to your own for the life of the world. At the end of the day, place me with Mary, your mother, and for her sake, take me to your heart. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, brothers and sisters, you know, we talk about being happy and finding happiness, and you know, how can we be really truly happy? You know, in living for Christ, it's not a sacrifice, it's not a discipline. It is hard work, though. The first word in the various Beatitudes is blessed, and that is a matter of great importance. Blessed is he. And since God's happiness and our happiness are bound together, we can only be truly happy if we are connected to him. And yes, many people seek all kinds of happiness through, I mean, it's a universal instinct to want to be happy, but so many try to buy happiness, drug themselves, vacation their way to happiness. And to find happiness is not to get back to the garden, but to get back to God. And Jesus tells us how to get back to God by the eight qualities described in the Beatitudes. So many people have referred, and I'm sure you already know it, as the Sermon on the Mount. And I thought I would begin with that in mind. So Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount listing eight spiritual traits that would lead, that will lead to true happiness. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, I said God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely, for my sake. So these spiritual traits of character are known as the Beatitudes, and it's taken from the Latin word that means happy or blessed. And so after each spiritual trait, Jesus Christ gave the outcome it would produce, the blessing it will bring. And many of them can seem counterintuitive at first glance. How can someone who is mourning or be persecuted be blessed or happy? Well, first of all, those who know they are spiritually poor are humble in mind. The word humility means low-minded. They are authentic in relationships because they aren't worried about impressing anyone. And most of all, they are joyful in God. The spiritually impoverished are those who are hopeful in outlook, grateful in grace, and reveling in love. Jesus says we must be poor in spirit. He insists that our true happiness is dependent upon knowing we are spiritually bankrupt. And that means we need a kingdom perspective of our spiritual helplessness. The common understanding of happiness is contrary to the attitudes Jesus presents. So the average person living in a developed nation today, well, enjoys a certain level of comfort and security unknown to those who lived in prior centuries. Compared to individuals living in poorer countries, people living in the more affluent nations have access to a wealth of resources, utilities, opportunities, conveniences, services. But, has prosperity brought lasting peace and happiness? Feelings of frustration and emptiness and dissatisfaction run high in this world. Why do people have so much and feel so discontented? And along with seeking happiness, people really want a peaceful life. The quest for peace, happiness, and well-being has fostered the self-help movement, right? Trying to help yourself. Many people have been helped by adding exercise, relaxation, and positive thinking to their lives. And others have found temporary excitement or relief in stimulants and depressants. But neither self-help nor drugs and alcohol can tap into the source of real happiness, the overlooked spiritual component to happiness. Well, there is a spiritual component to happiness that has been overlooked by many. Our Creator provided an instruction book for life, the Holy Bible. And here God explains the dimension that is missing in human knowledge, the spiritual element. Jesus founded the New Testament church on himself and the Bible, God's Word. His teaching is a religion of love and of law. It has a spiritual component, the Holy Spirit, which is the presence and power of God. Christianity includes emotions such as love, joy, and concern for others, the laws of God, and as explained by Jesus and the apostles. In the Bible, we find the ultimate goal of Christianity is not temporary happiness. It is something much greater than that. The goal of an individual Christian is transformation, a conversion of the mind to become a new creation who thinks and lives the same way Jesus Christ did. Jesus explained the spiritual traits of character that produce a state of joy that persists from and in spite of circumstances. The goal of an individual Christian is conversion, transformation of the mind to become a new creation. The Beatitudes consider the first one, my friends. Consider the first one, a feeling of personal adequacy and self-worth is not necessary to experience the happiness that Jesus described. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why would those who are humble and without any self-importance find happiness that often eludes the wealthy and the self-confident? Those who are poor in spirit have no illusions of pride and self-importance. They recognize their personal inadequacy and human frailty. They relate to God as dependent beings, looking to Him as the source of all things. They put their confidence and trust in God, not in themselves or others. That trust will be blessed, and they will find ultimate fulfillment serving with Christ in His kingdom. What about the second beatitude for those who mourn? Jesus says they will be comforted. This is capable of two meanings, that they are blessed who are afflicted with the loss of friends or possessions, or that those who mourn over sin are blessed. God is the God of all comfort, and He promises that someday all sorrow, all tears, all anguish, all depression, all anxiety, all worry will be wiped away. Revelation 21 and 2 Corinthians 1. And so it goes with all the Beatitudes. Those who are meek will inherit the earth. Those who hunger after righteousness will be filled. Those who are merciful will obtain mercy. Those who are pure in heart will see God. Those who are peacemakers will be the sons of God. None of us, brothers and sisters, none of us can fill the emptiness and the discontent that comes from being unhappy. That void is God's place to fill. And we can't meet it with something else. We just can't, at least for any length of time. We can't generate lasting happiness, and nor can we find it in some outside circumstance. We must acknowledge that the Creator, our Lord Jesus, is the source of all good things, and go to Him. Those who turn to God in humility and repentance, well, they begin a journey to the kingdom of God and eternal life. They learn God's way of life. It is more blessed to give than to receive, Acts 20. Having the spiritual traits of character described in the Beatitudes will allow us to experience blessedness, happiness, not only now, but forever. So think about that, brothers and sisters. And I wanted to go over one of the areas in David, actually. So, oops, I lost my little note. Okay, here we go. Sorry about that. All right, here we go. So I'm just looking. Just bear with me. Here it comes. It's coming. All right, here we go. All right, so, oh my goodness. All right, my notes are longer than I thought. How about that, everyone? Okay, here we go. All right, so let's begin. I want to use David, King David, as an example. If you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 18. Now, this is the reason why David was chosen of God. One of the reasons why he was chosen by God for the kingship. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 18. David, said unto Saul, Who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? And later we see in reference in 2 Samuel 7 and 18, in reference to his actual kingship, he asked the question, Who am I? Who is my family? What is my history? What have I that should commend me to the throne and to the royalty of Israel? So if you look at Judges, book Judges 6 and verse 15, you'll also see Gideon. And you'll remember that Gideon was raised up of God, and he took 300 men alone. He wanted to take more, but God said no, 300 men, and they defeated the enemy. But before God raised him up for this victory, he said these words. He said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. I come from a poor tribe. I am the least in my father's house. I am the runt of the family. But God chose to lift the poor one, to lift the weak one, to use him, because it's that way. And that's road that we will have this blessing in the church of God and in our personal souls and spirits. Didn't the woman who bore the Lord Jesus Christ, the Blessed Virgin, did she not rejoice in God, her Savior? She rejoiced not in her ability to have this child, not in God's grace to shine upon her and to pick her out of all the women in Judah. That she, remember, every woman of her age was just asking, was just praying to have the privilege of delivering the Messiah into the world. But when she was told, she didn't run to the press, she didn't shout it from the rooftops, she didn't tell those in her assembly, but unlike us, she rejoiced in God, her Savior, because she realized that blessedness comes from poverty of spirit. You needed to be blessed. You needed to be saved. You see, we will never be saved. We can't be saved without it. The Lord Jesus made it so clear on so many occasions that there are so many people across our land at this very moment, and they believe that they are being commended to God for some other reason within themselves. Very few have blessed emptiness. Empty within, realizing that they have nothing to bring them or to commend them to God. And, oh yes, faith saves them, as Ephesians 2 say, by grace are ye saved through faith and not of yourselves. Of course, faith saves them, but poverty of spirit is the posture of faith. You'll not go to the doctor. It's very simple, but it's true. You'll not go to the doctor if you don't realize there's something wrong. If you don't realize that you are lacking in some way, that you're out of breath a little, or you have a limp, or you're a pain, or you have a sore head, you won't go. And in the same way, if you don't realize your sin and your neediness before God of having God in your life, you will never go to Christ for salvation. You'll be too darn proud to do that. You need to be blessed. You need it to, and you need it to be mature. Blessed are the poor in spirit. If you ever outgrow that first beatitude, you've outgrown Christianity. You don't get past it and you'd qualify. You're promoted to number two beatitude. It doesn't work like that. You have to carry it with you, you see. If you want to grow, if you want to mature on the Christian pathway, you must be led along the rest of the way in humility, in poverty of spirit, and in a knowledge and acknowledgement of spiritual bankruptcy before God. When you look at Revelation, I'm just looking at my time, looking at Revelation chapter 3, we see two differences, the two different approaches. We have in Revelation 3, verse 17, the Laodicean church, and the Lord is speaking to the churches. He's talking to his own churches, describing what he thinks of them. Imagine, right? What would he think of us today? what would he think of you and me if he was personally describing us? Because he says in verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knowest that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou may be rich, and white raiment, that thou may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. See thyself as thou art. They thought they were rich. It was the ones who thought they were rich who were poor. And chapter 2 and verse 9, the other extreme, and this is the blessed extreme, to the church at Smyrna, he says, I'm describing you, church of Smyrna. I know thy works and tribulation and the trials you've gone through and the poverty, but you know what? Thou art rich. Yes, they did have poverty, but that poverty made them rich. The world thinks it's idiotic, but who cares? Because the world never got it right yet. The world thinks it's idiotic, but we know that it is blessed wisdom. We've seen the word for poverty. We've seen what the world thinks of poverty. But I want to finally look at the wealth of poverty. Blessed, that means rich. Rich in the sense of approved by God. To have God's smile and approval upon your life. You will have it, brothers and sisters, when you're poor in your spirit. And then you will enter the kingdom of God. And I want you to notice this emphatic phrase that simply means that it means that there is no one upon the earth or out of the earth that can have it. Only a poor person in spirit. Only the poor in spirit, only them, all other extremes, all others accepted, all other religions or faiths or belief. What he is saying here is that it's only those who realize their bankruptcy and their nothingness before God that will be commended to God. And if you're here with me right now and you know there's something that you believe within yourself can bring you to God, you can't get there. You'll never get there and you'll never be in heaven. You see, it's our weakness. That is the reservoir for God's power. It is our inadequacy. That is the place for his adequacy. Our poverty is exchanged for his riches. It is our timidness that gives way for his confidence and his authority. Is that not what Paul said? For God said to him, and he said to God three times, will you take this thorn away from me, this thorn in my flesh, this thing that has come as a messenger of Satan to buffet me, take it away. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I wonder, is God saying that to someone here today? Is he saying that to you today? You've gone through something. You're about to go through something and you're terrified. You feel weak. You feel nothing. You've realized that feeling that you have of poverty and emptiness before God. Covet it, hold it, and realize that you're blessed of God because of it, only if you rely upon him in it. And that is the message of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, we're going to repeat it 8-9 times perhaps. But I want you to get it into your heads, brothers and sisters. In Luke chapter 18, verse 10, we read an account of the publican and the Pharisee. And you know it well. The Pharisee went up to the temple and so did the publican. And the publican was a scoundrel in his day, a holy man and a sinful man. And they both go up to the temple and the Pharisee stands up before God and he cries, I thank thee that I am not as other men. And he went through a whole list of how he fasted, how he went to the temple to pray, how he did his alms, and dear knows what else the writer has left out that he did say. And this poor soul got up and bowed his head in shame before God and said, God, Be merciful unto me, a sinner. And he was the one who was justified. Could we, by saying today, two men went into the church to pray. One was a regular member and one was an outsider. The member stood and prayed, I thank thee and I am that I am not as other denominations, as other vile sinners. I go to the Bible study, I go to the prayer meeting, I give offering faithfully, I am whatever. These things are not wrong. Don't get me wrong. We must believe. We must have our beliefs and believe them boldly. But do we take pride in them? Or do we have that blessed poverty of spirit that we realize to rise in the kingdom of God is to sink within ourselves and before others? It isn't easy, brothers and sisters, but following the Beatitudes, living a more humble life, and it's a constant reflection on ourselves. We have to self-reflect, brothers and sisters. We have to take the time to see ourselves as poor, as humble, and allow ourselves to be humble. And through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, to come on hand and knees to our Lord Jesus and ask for his mercy and for his forgiveness. And when we do that, brothers and sisters, you begin looking through God's eyes. How wonderful your life has been. What blessed things you have been granted and given through the grace of God. And that is where you will find the moment of happiness, where you're not going to seek other things, where you begin to live for God. When you live for him, brothers and sisters, the choke, the burdens around your shoulders and neck and everything is broken. Because with God, all things are possible. God moves mountains, brothers and sisters. And if you've got a mountain today that you need moved, believe me, brothers and sisters, God is the only one who can do that through his grace. So through prayer and supplication, right? We bring our prayers to God. Don't think that your prayers are not heard or unanswered. God has the big picture. That's why he is God and we aren't. And we have to trust him, brothers and sisters, when we don't get the answer right away. Because we're such an impatient lot, aren't we? But brothers and sisters, there is much hope. Much hope through our blessed God. So let's all say a Hail Mary as we close. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I sincerely hope that this broadcast in finding happiness has helped you, keep you on your journey to salvation, to joy, to peace through the love of Christ. Amen.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. If I had